to confess our sins to God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Thank you.
with you. Let us pray.
Lord Jesus Christ, you have always given to your church on earth faithful shepherds such as Timothy to guide and feed your flock. Make all pastors diligent to preach your holy word and administer your means of grace, and grant your people wisdom to follow in the way that leads to life eternal. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first reading for the feast of Saint Timothy, pastor and confessor, is from the book of Acts, the 16th chapter. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there, named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb.
My praise is continually of you.
My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day.
With their number is past my knowledge.
With the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come.
I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone.
O God, from my youth you have taught me.
And I still proclaim your wondrous deeds.
So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me.
Until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come.
Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens.
You have done great things, O God. Who is like you?
You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again.
From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again.
You will increase my greatness.
And comfort me again.
I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God.
I will sing praises to you.
My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you.
My soul also, which you have redeemed.
And my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long.
For they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb.
My praise is continually of you.
The second reading is from St. Paul's first letter to Timothy, the 6th chapter. As for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you, in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He, who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen.
Amen.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 24th chapter. Jesus said, "Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I hope for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. From St. Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 6, he tells the young pastor, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. This is our text. Today, January 24th, is the Feast of St. Timothy. You might wonder why we observe a day named after a saint. After all, we don't invoke the saints by praying to them or by worshiping them, as some do. The Word of God teaches us to pray only to Him and to worship Him alone. And so we don't worship or pray to any other except the Blessed Holy Trinity. But the Word of God does lead us to remember and honor the saints. In fact, there's an entire chapter of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, that is about Old Testament saints. We hear their names, we hear what they did, and most of all, we hear how they lived by faith. The book of Hebrews describes us like runners in a race, and if you've ever run in a race, you may know the encouragement that you feel with all the others who are running as well. As we run with the saints, we are encouraged and spurred on in the faith by this great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us. And it seems to me that in days and times when Christians seem to be getting fewer in number, that remembering the saints is especially important. We are not alone. There is the whole company of heaven. Our Lutheran confessions teach us to remember and honor the saints in three ways. The first way is thanksgiving. We thank God for the saints because we see in them examples of His mercy, and we see in them evidence of His desire to save us and all people, and we see in them the blessings that He has given to the church through them. When we look at Timothy, we see how God served the church through this saint, the way that God blessed them through this pastor. So the first way is thanksgiving. The second way is for the strengthening of faith. As we see the sins of the saints forgiven, we are encouraged to believe that grace abounds over our sins as well. Who among us doesn't find some hope when we see how Peter denied Jesus and yet was restored and forgiven? The third way is imitation. We follow the saints in faith and in good works. We learn from them both to believe God's word and also to lead holy lives. We may think of them perhaps as our older siblings in the family called the church. You may recall when you were growing up, perhaps looking up to an older sibling, following in their footsteps, trying to do what they did, and yes, at times also learning from their example of what not to do. The saints are our older siblings. So what about this particular saint, Saint Timothy? What we know about him is that his father was a Gentile and his mother was a Jewish woman. Her name was Eunice. And Eunice and her mother, Timothy's grandmother Lois, were both Christians, and they raised him to be a Christian as well. They taught him the faith. You might say they did the equivalent in our day of bringing him to Sunday school and teaching him at home by reading him the scriptures, by singing with him hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. As a young man, Timothy grew up in what is modern-day Turkey, Asia Minor, as it was called then. He had a good reputation within the church, and when St. Paul came traveling through that area, St. Timothy latched on as a dear friend and close associate of St. Paul. He traveled with Paul on missionary journeys. He was with Paul in Rome when Paul was imprisoned, and later Timothy served as a bishop of the church in Ephesus. And the two books that we have in the Bible that have Timothy's name are not written by him, but they are books written from St. Paul to Timothy as a pastor. He was a pastor and a confessor of the faith, and he died as a martyr around the year AD 97. Now, in that first letter to Timothy that St. Paul wrote, he urges the young pastor to fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight, he says. Not every fight is a good or noble one. Some fights are pointless and unnecessary. They waste time, they waste energy. I'm sure you've been in some of those over the years, because I know that I have. Nothing is gained. Avoid those kinds of fights. Don't fire the first shot in that kind of a battle, and don't return fire when shot at. Avoid the pointless and worthless and good-for-nothing sort of fights. What St. Paul calls the good fight isn't primarily about battles with other people or even battles with the world around us. Yes, there is a time and a place to fight some of those battles, to fight hard for the truth and for what is good and just and for things that are beautiful. But when St. Paul says, fight the good fight of faith, he's mentioning something that is far more personal. The good fight is the one that takes place within you. St. Paul writes here like a commanding officer to a younger subordinate. He writes as someone with experience and wisdom, as someone who has been in this battle. He has seen a lot of battlefields, and he knows where the greatest danger lies. And he knows that the greatest danger lies within. Before St. Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles, you may remember that he was a persecutor of the church. He was zealous and passionate, not for Christ, but against Christ. When St. Stephen, the first Christian to be martyred, was stoned to death, St. Paul was standing there watching, cheering them on, and holding the cloaks of those who were throwing the stones. And even after his conversion, St. Paul could still be a difficult person to get along with. There are still conflicts and tensions, even among Christians. His words could be sharp, his actions could be cutting, even against his closest friends and companions. I wonder how many times St. Timothy, as he traveled with Paul, saw that sinful nature within Paul rear up its ugly head. So St. Paul fought daily against the powers of anger and discontent and pride and arrogance. Too often he didn't do the good that he wanted to do, but the very thing he didn't want to do is the thing he kept on doing. The power of sin is strong, and St. Paul knows it. He knows that sin is not easily mastered. He knows that we can never declare a truce or a ceasefire with our sin. And that's why he writes to St. Timothy saying, fight the good fight. Now, you might want to call a time out here for a second. You might be thinking, but it's St. Paul and St. Timothy. And not only are they saints, but they were pastors. Yes, they were. We want to put our saints and our heroes on a pedestal where they can never be taken down. We want to believe that our pastors are especially holy. We want to believe that temptation is easy for them. And we may want to believe this because we find it so hard to resist the advances of the devil and the deceitful words of evil and the well-worn paths of sin. Maybe, we think, maybe if our pastor has learned not to have such a problem with sin, maybe there's hope for me to be holy as well. Maybe I can learn from him. And to that I just say, ha! If only it were that way! Of course, pastors may want to believe the same thing, too. A pastor may want to believe that being a pastor makes his relationships better. Never any strains in a marriage, never any conflicts with children. He may want to believe that a pastor is never tempted to worry or to want or to lash out with sharp words or to be afraid to speak the truth or to hide lust in some dark corner of his heart. Why, those pastors look so put together sometimes, don't they? Pastors would love to think that sin is no longer such a problem. that they of all people should know how to resist and fight the influence of sin. But I'll tell you a little secret. Every day proves that every single pastor is a sinner, just like every Christian. Truly, we sin daily and much. The faith is a fight. And the life of the faithful is a fight for pastors and lay people alike, but it isn't a lost cause. We fight not with human weapons, but with the whole armor of God. There's the belt of truth, and there's the breastplate of righteousness, and there are the feet strapped with the peace of Christ. There's the shield of faith that we hold in our hand, and the helmet of salvation that guards our mind, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, to wield against our enemies. These are the weapons of faith for both the pastor and the layperson. We are encouraged to take up the full armor of God each and every day for this fight. And even when we have met the enemy and he is us, we fight with the same weapons. We're guarded by this same armor. It's not only good against the enemies outside, but it's also good against the enemy that is inside. We fight, yes, but we do not fight alone. Christ is fighting in us, and he is fighting through us, and he is fighting for us. He is fighting the enemies of faith that capture our hearts with vain and worthless things. He is fighting the lies that deceive and mislead us. He is fighting the cheap thrills and pleasures and trinkets that entice us. He is fighting our own sinful nature that moans and whines and complains about how hard it is to live by faith and how difficult it is to resist temptation. He is fighting against the complacency that puts the things of God off or doesn't value them, and the laziness that so easily gives up when it meets an obstacle. He is fighting for you. As pastors and people, both as preacher and as hearers of the word, St. Paul calls us to fight. Wage war against the old Adam and against the world that would steal our hearts away from God and against the devil who would lead us to despair. How do we do this? We do this by confessing our sin. Confessing our sin, we fight against pride, and we learn humility. I, a poor, pitiful sinner. How do we do this? Taking up the righteousness of Christ that is yours in baptism, we fight against the sins that stain our conscience and plead the blood of Christ. With God's word in our ears and in our hearts and minds, and with the gift of prayer on our mouth, we fight against the rush to think poorly of others and to judge them, and we learn to explain everything in the kindest way. With God's promises filling our ears, we fight against disappointment and doubt that would lead us to question God or to despair of him. We begin to walk by faith and not by sight. And with brothers and sisters beside us, we fight by bearing one another's burdens, by bringing one another's needs to our Father in heaven in prayer, and by showing kindness and mercy to one another. And by doing these things, we spur one another on to love and good deeds. Though devils all the world should fill, though hearts are quick to sue for peace with the old Adam, though the world is strong, we won't give in. We won't give up. Christ himself fights for us. Lord Jesus Christ, your power make known. Defend your holy church that we may sing your praise eternally. And so he does. In this holy Christian church, our Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, daily and richly forgives all my sins and all your sins as well. The sins of pastors and the sins of lay people. By the power of Christ's death and resurrection, our Lord reclaims us as his own people, and he restores us by grace. Daily, his word makes us wise unto salvation. Daily, we rise in the strong name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit to walk in newness of life. Daily, Jesus is our bread and our meat. We receive today the body that he gave for us into death and the blood that he shed for us on the cross. And these gifts given to you today are strength and nourishment for you every single day. You have his body and his blood at work in you. Dear friends, we are in the battle for our lives, but Christ is fighting for us. This battle takes place within us each and every day, but do not lose heart. Christ is our champion. Christ is the one who slays the Goliath within us. He is the one that puts to death the old sinful nature. So do not lose heart. Our sinful nature, the devil, and the world can only win if we surrender, if we give up. When we sin, they do not win. They only win when we refuse and fail to confess our sins, when we are unrepentant and not sorry. They win only if we give up the steadfast love and mercy of our Lord that made us Christ's own and keep us as his. If we fail to hold fast to that mercy and love, we will lose. But it is there for us in Christ, here for us in Christ, day after day after day. This was the comfort for St. Timothy. His comfort was not found simply in his ordination or his call to be a pastor or in some superior holiness that he had. His comfort was in the words and promises and gifts of Christ and in the Lord who died for him and shed his blood for him. This is the comfort of all, whether preaching or hearing the word. So in this fight, we do not fight alone. It is a fight against the enemies that are outside and already defeated, and it is a fight against the enemy within who has already had his head held under the water in holy baptism. The Spirit of God is at work in you to transform your hearts and minds that you may be his temple. It is a good fight for us to fight, the fight of the redeemed that lay hold of the redemption that is ours in Christ Jesus. The fight that grasps a hold of the good confession that Christ made before Pontius Pilate, confessing that he is the Christ who came to die for us. And so as we go about this fight each and every day, may God equip us with boldness. May he give us courage. May he strengthen our faith. May he support our hope. May he surround us with brothers and sisters here and older siblings who have gone before, until that day when at last the war is finally finished, when at last our weapons are laid down, at last we rejoice to live in the victory of Christ forevermore. But do not lose heart. Fight the good fight of faith, even as Jesus fights in you and for you. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. For the faithful proclamation of Christ's saving name, that God's people may be strengthened in the true faith and his kingdom extended Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church throughout the world, and for all who confess the name of Christ, that God would guard and defend us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, its mission, and its people, for the ability to meet the needs that arise as we do the work God has given us to do, and for the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the students, faculty, and staff of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne and Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, for Patrick and Laura Jackson, William, Henry, and the baby, as they prepare to join the seminary community this year, for theological education in Eurasia, especially the Livonian Lutheran Project and Luther Academy Riga, for the Reverend Doctors John Bombaro and Charles Courtwright, who teach there, and for all their students, including Michael Maurizio beginning pastoral training and Nancy Jane as she begins deaconess training, that the Lord of the harvest would prepare and send out many laborers into his harvest. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who partake this day of Christ's holy body and blood, that in their eating and drinking they may receive the benefits of forgiveness of sins and the renewal of life and have a foretaste of the feast to come. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have wandered from the faith, that the Holy Spirit would use us to call them home to the Father. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the government and all who have been set into positions of leadership, that they may use the authority entrusted to them honorably and for the good of the people. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who suffer from hunger, homelessness, poverty, or unemployment, that God's great mercy and love would preserve and relieve them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the faithful, that the Spirit would lead them to cheerful, generous giving from the bounty the Lord provides, to support the church and to help those in need. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are sick and in need, especially Tom Connell, Mary Lou Thompson, Mike Arpino, Zachary, Judy, Jessica, Melanie, Carolyn Welmer, Kay Emmerich, Virginia Fleming, Rob Gogan, and all who have the coronavirus, that God would grant healing to their bodies and strength to bear their infirmities with patience and grace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who mourn, especially the family and friends of John, Debbie Page's friend, and Eric Studlian's Aunt Dolores, that in their time of sorrow, they would not lose hope, but rely on God's promise that he will never leave them or forsake them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who rejoice in the rich blessings of God, that they may always remember the giver of every good gift and give him heartfelt thanks. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, for you have mightily governed and protected your holy church, in which the blessed apostles and evangelists proclaimed your divine and saving gospel. Therefore, with patriarchs and prophets, apostles and evangelists, with your servant Timothy, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take each of the two bodies, our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Take each of the two bodies, our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Take each of the two bodies, our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for you.
Christ given unto death. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Healing gift, and we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Blessed be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.